We're on the last chapter of Koban's aspects of sitting. Shinken Taza. And the only reason I know that is because a birdie told me. Whenever I think of Shinken Taza, remember how Angie does that at Shashin's? She has her talking stick. She always goes, Shinken Taza, and she goes, she takes her stick. Remember how she does that? For that ta. So let's read it like we do. Go ahead and start.
Shinken Taza, the greatest pleasure, the greatest accomplishment of your way-seeking is in the realization of sitting, this form of sitting, this place to sit on this earth, this time to sit, the 20th century, all have lots of problems. The Shinken Taza way is giving birth to the Buddha Tsi. It is not a person becoming a better person. It is the actualization of what we are.
To sit in Shinken Taza is very uncomfortable at first. It's rather more peaceful to sink into a warm, soft couch and have a nice drink. That's peace, we may say. But to recover our basic view of sanity and clarity, to see how everything actually arises and falls moment after moment, is how we take this sitting posture.
Awakening, continuous awakening, is nothing but our basic nature. Putting that awakening into some form of so-called being as a man or woman explains what Shinken Taza is. When you jump into the Buddha's world, you place yourself in the center of... God, help me out with this, people.
Complete, perfect enlightenment.
Start the path. That is Shinken Taza's real meaning, real action. Shinken Taza is immeasurable, it's unthinkable. You can use your entire system of knowing, but it is impossible to completely understand.
Shinken Taza sounds very strong. Shinken is understood as identical to Taza. Shinken means pure, one, only for it. Ta is a very strong word. It shows moving activity. When you hit, that movement is called ta. So strike is ta. Za is the same as in the word zazen, sitting. To express the whole character, Shinken Taza is actually quite enough, but not enough until you experience it. Shinken Taza is sitting for itself. You may say pure sitting for itself, not for something else.
Shinjin Datsu Raku is the same as Shinken Taza. Shinjin is body-mind. Body-mind is nothing but our whole life. This cannot be seen in two ways. You are dreaming some terrible dream, and the dream is cut off. That is called datsu. When you get rid of that dream, that is also called datsu. When you have a sword, the action of pulling a sword from its sheath is called datsu. So datsu has a very strong meaning of freeing from something. Another way to express it is this, to have conquered something which hindered your existence, like attachments, delusions, or misunderstanding. Zazen itself is cutting off those contradictions.
Conditions. When we are dreaming, even if it is later called a dream, while we are dreaming, it is a real thing. This night is almost the same as last night, but you cannot call last night back. You cannot remember how you were yesterday, but at this point, we don't have yesterday. Yesterday only gave time and space for now, so we can be completely in present time. Datsu is the succession of time from today to tomorrow. Datsu of now is the next moment. Is that in the paragraph? No. This moment is the next moment. This is the only way our life is going on. It sounds like an intuitive, ordinary philosophy of life. Everyone can feel it. Oh, it is. It is. Usually no one pays attention in that way, being with the present and seeing and feeling that yesterday is behind us like a rope. We are on top of the rope, or karma, and it just goes on and on like knitting. So last year someone might have said, you are crazy, and you thought there was something to it. A strong impression makes unreal existence real, and real existence unreal.
Shikantaza is not what we usually think. It is truly personal deeds, because only if one decides to sit does it appear. Sitting cannot be fully experienced by imagination. Shikantaza has a kind of slippery feeling to it. This means that it is easy to slip off of it. It's quite slippery because it relates to your everyday condition. In each sitting, you have to sense it without anyone's help. There are no techniques. There is no measuring stick with which to evaluate it. There is no way of knowing what it is or what you are doing. All kinds of conceptualizations, ideas, hopes fall away from it. They cannot stay in your meditation.
Sitting on your cushion is not relaxation. It is a result of all of your knowledge. Every experience you have come through sits there each time. It is very serious. Otherwise, you sit because it feels good and you're comfortable. And once in a while, you feel an ecstatic sensation in your body. You feel calmness, stillness, clarity, and forget there are hungry people on this earth. You forget there are lots of diseases which are killing people. If you do not observe that in your sitting, you are just escaping into your desire. It happens if you mistake or limit the focus of your sitting practice.
Sitting, shikantaza, is the place itself and things. The dynamics of all Buddhas are in it. When you sit, the cushion sits with you. If you wear glasses, the glasses sit with you. Clothing sits with you. Houses sit with you. People are moving around outside, all sit with you. You don't take the sitting posture.
Sitting in shikantaza does not depend on human intellect. It is not something you understand. It's indescribable. We say the contents of sitting are beyond our thinking system or our sensations. Belief or confidence is not what we usually think it is. Doing shikantaza shows utter trust and belief in it. If you explain shikantaza, it becomes something which you don't understand. But you can experience sitting with everything, with the understanding that everything is there with you.
Buddhist sitting is a way beyond purity and impurity, holiness and unholiness. It is beyond bodhisattva's sitting, which is endless. Bodhisattva's sitting is like a seed which never stops flourishing. It always comes back.
I thought that I had a talk transcribed by one of us with Angie talking about shikantaza. Of course, I couldn't find it this afternoon when I was looking for it. She does talk, well, kind of in the way that Koban talks about shikantaza at some shashins. So I did find this book. This is by Jacusho Kwong, who is, I found out he is the abbot of Sonoma Zen Center. And apparently he knew Koban pretty well. And I wasn't really aware of that. So I said, well, I wonder what he has to say with it. And he has a chapter in here of Shinkantaza. Its subtitle is Sitting Quietly and Doing Nothing. And who he quotes and what he shares about is what Suzuki Roshi says about sitting. And this is just a little part from a talk that Suzuki Roshi gave in 1968 at Tassajara about Shinkantaza. At the beginning of the talk, Suzuki Roshi says, I want to explain Shinkantaza. Now, this is unusual for a Zen master to explain something, because Zen depends much upon demonstration and example. But as I quote from this talk, you'll see how a Zen master explains, because we can neither talk about reality nor explain it. And that's what really struck me with this, too. I mean, he said, you know, here it is, almost three pages about it, but he says, you can't understand this. You know, you can experience it, but, you know, you know, even then, how are you going to know it? So Suzuki Roshi says, I want to explain Shinkantaza, which means just to sit. Some monk said to a Zen master, it is very hot. How is it possible to sit somewhere when there is no hot or no cold weather? This is just like our lives. How can we avoid difficulty? How can we always have a good day? This koan is more than 1,000 years old, and yet it is so relevant and familiar. It is our everyday question. How can we avoid being too hot or too cold? The master answered, when it is hot, you should be hot, Buddha. When it is cold, you should be cold, Buddha. This is the Dogen Zenji's understanding of the story. In the actual story, the master says, when it is hot, you should kill hot. When it is cold, you should kill cold. And this is also goes with another Zen saying. In fact, Dan brought this up, I think, last month, about this word kill. When a Buddha is walking before you on a path, you should kill the Buddha. Of course, this doesn't mean that you should physically kill someone. It means you should kill the idea of Buddha, because you are Buddha too. In the story, it is the same with hot and cold. Suzuki Roshi continues to explain. When it is hot, you should kill hot. When it is cold, you should kill cold. But if you say kill, the kill is extra. If you say attain enlightenment, the attain is extra. Dogen was very direct when he said, when it is hot, you should be hot, Buddha. When it is cold, you should be cold, Buddha. This is what Shinkantaza means. To be completely within the presence of yourself, no matter what the environment. It takes a lot of training and practice, but the benefits are immeasurable, not only for yourself, but in the effect it may have upon many other people as well. So what struck me reading about this is, here's Koban, who spent his whole life in monasteries and temples, saying that that you can never use your entire system of knowing, and it is completely to completely understand it. He spends his entire life sitting, Shinkantaza, sitting, which is the practice of Soto Zen. He tells the students to, what does he say? He goes on page 2, he goes, Shinkantaza is not what we usually think. It is truly personal deeds, because only if one decides to sit does it appear. Sitting cannot be fully experienced by imagination. Shinkantaza is kind of a slippery feeling. It means that it's easy to slip off. Very slippery. In each sitting, you have to sense it without anyone's help. And this is one of the main, I looked in a couple of the Buddhist dictionaries, and this is one of the main distinctions of Dzogchen Taza. There are no instructions. They aren't telling you to count your breath. It's saying sit. Just sit and look at the wall. So here you are, without anyone's help. There are no techniques. And there is no measuring stick to measure it. You know, how do you know if you're doing it right, per se? There is no way of knowing. So here's Kogen Chino Roshi telling us this again. And I just, like, yeah, scratch my head. It's very interesting.
Didn't Kogen go off on like a camp very different than almost like in that movie Apocalypse Now with Martin Brando?
Wow.
And it was like, he like went off on a direction, I think, that a lot of the people before him didn't.
Which was to sit. Especially, my understanding, I mean, my understanding is he had a strong sitting practice. And my understanding, you know, Suzuki Roshi too, is that the American students wanted to sit. So that's what he taught. That's what Suzuki Roshi taught, was Dzogchen Taza. And yeah, I mean, to even come to the United States, you got to be some kind of, you know, from living in a temple. So it's interesting. And he goes on to tell us that this Dzogchen Taza doesn't depend on human intellect. It is not something you understand. It's undescribable. Of course, he spent his whole life. I mean, he has sanghas all over the world, in Europe and New Mexico. And we say the contents are beyond our thinking system or our sensations. Belief or confidence is not what we usually think it is. Doing Dzogchen Taza shows utter trust and belief in it. Doing Dzogchen Taza shows utter trust and belief in it. So what's that mean? What is it? Many people, including myself, can be very uncomfortable in not knowing what it is. In fact, my husband, he gets very, very distraught and gets sicker if he can't determine what's made him sick or what it is that a sickness is, if he doesn't, like, have a diagnosis. Now, there's some really, you know, rational stuff with it. You know, if you might get sick again or you might be dying or something, but if the doctor says, well, gosh, I really don't know if it's a flu or a cold, but, you know, not knowing what it is that going to make you... it's not going to make it go away. But it makes them feel worse just not being able to have a diagnosis or knowing what it is. And I have a client, one of the women that I work with, and she's really distraught. She'll get in these moods, and she can't move through it unless she says, I can name it. Until she can name that it's anger or fear or depression, she's just all about it. She's just all around it. She's just in a tizzy. So not knowing is not always the most comfortable thing. And in fact, with this practice for me, there's been times so I'm saying, you know, what am I doing? What is this practice? My teachers can't explain it to me. They can't say, what is it? Just sitting without a goal. Dan.
I think you just said something really that gave to it. You were going around and around on something and then it finally hit, which is that, so they can't tell us how to do it, but they themselves are doing it, which actually lends some credibility to it. They were telling us to do something they weren't doing. That casts a lot of doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're doing it, like you say, they're devoting mm-hmm. their lives to it, which I think is very interesting. But then, there's this, but it is something. Because otherwise, you can't measure it. You can't say this is a good zazen and that's a bad zazen. I've tried that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I mean, it's better to say that was zazen one, this is zazen two, and just continue numbering them that way, and then you can't compare them. But there's something, though, that you also linked, you said, you referred to the chapter, near the end of the chapter, where it says, shikantaza is not what we usually think, it's truly personal deeds, because only if one decides to sit does it appear. And you hinted, and I slightly disagree, that it isn't only the fact that you could have said that it doesn't, if one decides to do something purely, does it appear. It isn't only sitting. It isn't only sitting. Sitting is like a main manifestation of it. But it's always there. So, yeah, we label sitting in the room as zazen, and if you really know what you're doing, I guess maybe it's shikantaza. But, I mean, people cut vegetables. I've seen Kobun bow. I think I've told that story 1,000 mm-hmm. times, right? Mm-hmm. I've never seen anybody do something that completely before. So how you find something in the midst of all the sitting and the not knowing and just say, it's just that. And if you go on to try to explain it, then that becomes a thought and a concept mm-hmm. and added. Mm-hmm. And then it's not it anymore, because
mm-hmm.
now it's the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for walking us around, and then everybody eventually settles on what it is for them.
Yeah, for them.
And it's so, like you say, you can drag the person to the water, but they've gotta go and mm-hmm. take a sip.
Yeah. And for me, I think, again, the strongest thing for me, and you, yeah, it's a personal thing, and it is that you have to have a trust and belief in it. Can't drink the water. I mean, if you don't think the water is going to be, you know, have faith that the water is there, it's going to help you. I mean, you're not going to drink out of it. There's something I've been really think about. Or feel about what brings me to the cushion.
Yeah.
What is that for me? Another book, this book, The Art of Just Sitting, which is edited by John Dottolori, is all types of essays on sitting. And I copied one article from it, and I want to go ahead and share with you. But first, let me just read it. And I think this, what strikes me about this essay, and you articulated it one way, and another way that I can articulate it again, and where it's the personal aspect of it is, what are we believing in? What is it that we're trusting? What are we? Yeah, Julian.
One thing that we were talking about how we want to name something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a kind of discomfort in that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think also there's a discomfort in knowing as well. Like there's these two
Yeah.
Two things. I mean, in One obvious thing is, you know, knowing that you're having a terrible meeting, you're going to be having to confront somebody, your boss or something, you know, just knowing. Mm-hmm. Or imagine a person who's set to be, whatever, executed. That's that, the knowing. Mm-hmm. Ah. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes with Shikantaza's kind of, it's beyond, I mean, that blows the mind, if kind of pointing the way to something. I mean, it's not kind of any kind of conceptualization at all in that sense, in a very extremely deep level. And I think he's saying that there's a great pleasure, and I think that mm-hmm. in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
Julian, you always articulate my words. I'm like, bah, bah, bah. I rely on a lot of people's quotes for trying to get this, because it's a it is the experience of it. It is the experience, and it's not necessarily my knowing that keeps bringing me back to this cushion. I did find this one-page article. Well, I turned it into a one-page article by Hokan Yusutani. He's a successor of Sogaku Harado. He was Philip Kaplow's teacher, who wrote The Three Pillars of Zen. So Hokan was one of the very first teachers to bring Zen to the West. And he says, to do Shikantaza, one must have a firm faith in the fact that all beings are fundamentally Buddhas. Dogen Zenji says, you should practice along with the way. Those who believe in the Buddha way must believe in the fact that their own self is in the midst of the way from the beginning, so that there is no confusion, no delusion, no distorted viewpoint, no increase, decrease, and no errors. To have such faith and to understand such a way and practice in accordance with it is the very fundamental aspect of learning of the way. You try to cut off the root of consciousness by sitting. 8, even 9 out of 10 will be able to see the way, have kensho, suddenly. This is the way. This is the key to practicing Shikantaza. But that does not mean that one must believe that one small-minded, self-centered life is Buddha's life. On the contrary, casting all sorts of self-centeredness away and making yourself as clean sheet of paper, sit, just firmly sit. Sit unconditionally, knowing that sitting itself is the actualization of Buddhahood. This is the foundation of Shikantaza. If one's faith in that fact is shaky, one's Shikantaza is also shaky. And I think the faith and the trust is what, again, Julian, you know, was saying. It's not knowing. If you knew it, then what do you need to trust or believe in? And what Dan was saying, too, I mean, it's like you have to know it for yourself. This is something that happens within ourselves. So I don't always think about Buddhism as being something about having faith. It's not faith that in my, like you said, small, centered self is a Buddha, but it's that each one of us is. So let me pass this out. I thought it was just very succinct.
So basically, we have faith that the practice will take us where we want to go.
Or the way that I sense it is that sitting itself is, being that it is the practice, it's that realizing who or what we already are. And that, I believe, is why it's so unique for one's own experience.
Yes, probably. You could look at the other side and say it's all the same.
Yeah.
Knowing how Zen works.
Well, any other thoughts? Things that this last chapter stands out for you?
Well, that image of knitting in the rope, you know, and time seems very real to me, more real than the image I think you just read somewhere about a clean sheet of paper. That doesn't seem possible. I think the image of the progression of from moment to moment, you know, that we don't erase it or anything, it never disappears, it's following us like a rope.
I think that's what's so wonderful about this practice for me too, is that by being just right here, just sitting in this moment and breathing just in this moment, it's like, it's, you know, I can't be in the past, but, and I'm already creating the future by being here in the moment, but it's just this moment now. So it is, it's like, it's just, and it's the practice of it.
Well, I know there's a lot of discussion about the present, and what's the name of the book, The Eternal Now or something.
Oh, The Power of Now.
The Power of Now. And Angie made a comment on that in one of her talks. She said it's more than just now.
Now.
It's all of it.
Yeah.
So he's talking about you sitting, right? It's on page 22 toward the bottom. You feel calmness, stillness, clarity. You forget there are hungry people on this earth. You forget there are lots of diseases which are killing people. You do not observe that in your sitting. You are just escaping into your desire. I think that that whole... I think it's a bit of a... You could consider a critique in that... I don't know, the impressions I get from how we're... I mean, you're...
It's more than that.
You're taking in everything. You're like... I mean, even the disease. I mean, that's...